Scripture said it. The Word of God said it. My Bible said it. Scripture said it. Out of your belly.
I
say, out of your belly. From way down deep inside. The Spirit moving all over me.
Well,
I've got a river,
a living
what is all for me.
Hey!
Take all this goodness and always set me free.
Blessed be the name above every name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name above every name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. My God, what a good God. I want to get the Holy Ghost. My God, I want to get my sins washed away. I want to buy a chicken dinner. I want to be a quizzer. I'm all over the map tonight. I want it all. I want everything that's going on in the kingdom and everything that's going on in the among the people of God. Praise God. I love what God's doing on a Sunday night in the house of God. I'm just so glad they let me in. Can you imagine being closed out of this? Being on the outside of what God is doing? And it just gets better and richer and deeper. It is a wonderful, wonderful day to be a part of the kingdom of God. Our Hope Core group is leaving on Thursday. You want to be in prayer for them. It's so very interesting to me that the meeting place and the training place for two of those sessions this year are on the island of Roatan, where Sister Danette and Sister Jenny come from. And there's already a burgeoning church there now because of the Hope Core activity. And there's just no telling what God is going to do there. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful exercise, wonderful thing. So our quizzers are off to nationals, and we commend them again. And so excited for them. And we are trans-organizational. We quiz with United Pentecostal kids, and we quiz with Worldwide Pentecostal Fellowship kids. And if independent folks had quizzing, we'd quiz them. Because we just love God's people. We don't care what group they're in, what organization they're in. We just love God's people. Somebody say praise the Lord. I didn't explain it very well this morning, but Sister Wanda had connection with someone on Facebook, and there was a guy in Uganda that was listening in, and he was enjoying the service with you this morning from Uganda, and so excited to be connected. And I know a good number of brethren that are doing some work right now in the region around Uganda, and there's a lot of people being baptized in Jesus' name in spirit-filled groups all through Africa. It's happening in Uganda also. So just really nice, our family, the Koenig family. They're with us every Sunday morning from Germany. And it just gives me a thrill to think about a little Chinese family listening in, joining in with New Life on Sunday morning or Sunday night, and all over the world. It's just so very, very exciting to see what God has done. I appreciate the media team in making all that available and working on that. Just good day to be a part of the kingdom. We're going to read tonight. I get to talking about the church and how excited I am about it and how thrilled I am to be a part of it. And I could take up the rest of your evening. But we're going to read tonight in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13 and 19. Could you just linger in his presence for a minute? Just love him. I know you got your Bible in your hand or your phone or something, but just whatever you have available, just lift it up to him. Just linger in his presence. What a sweetness in the house tonight. I give you praise, oh God. I magnify you, oh God. God, we love you, we love you, we love you. We praise you, we lift you. We thank you, Jesus. Ah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Something rich, something with tremendous motive force is just flowing through this house tonight. Hallelujah. Jesus, we thank you. Jesus, we thank you. Praise God. Philippians 4 and 11. We're glad to see Dawson's family here tonight, his sister, his mama, his brother-in-law. Good to have them in the house from the great free marijuana state of Colorado. It's a beautiful place, a wonderful place to serve God in Colorado. Philippians 4 and 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am in, therewith to be content. Are you content? Are you really glad about what God's doing in your life? I know we always want more of God. but it's a pitiful waste of your life to live in the squalor of regret, remorse, discomfort with life, always bearing about the cross of every negative in your life, rather than rising up to the bright, fresh light of what God can do in your soul. That is not a condition or a circumstance. That is a choice. Paul said, wherever I am, whatever state I'm in, and we know his history, he said, I'm content. Verse 12, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed. What he's talking about this morning and again tonight is a wall-to-wall experience in God that is not compromised by people or circumstance or demons or devils or Mondays or rainy days. He said, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Would you say that? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And then down to verse 19, everyone say, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Praise God. As you're seated tonight, let's give him thanks and praise for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We want to magnify you, God. We praise you. We thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy and your grace tonight. We thank you for the word of God that we're able to handle in this house tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Verse 11, he said, I'm not talking in respect of want, but I've learned wherever I am, however my condition is, whatever state I'm in, therewith to be content. Now, in his letter to Timothy in chapter 6, verse 6 of the first letter to Timothy, he defines great gain for us. And he says, godliness with contentment, that is great gain. If you've got God and you're happy in God, that is where your fortune lies. If you've got God and you're content in God, that is worth more than all that. I know rich people that are miserable, and I know poor people that are miserable. But Paul says, I can live in both places, and I can find contentment in my soul. This morning we talked about a place where you can live, where Paul said, and if you'll do that, the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your mind, will keep your spirit. So Paul says that living with God and contentment in God is the definition of great gain. Is there a witness in the house tonight? Is there a testimony in the house tonight that can say, I was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, and I've never seen his seed begging bread? Is there anybody that's been busted flat, but you've had the joy of God in your heart? Anybody that's walked in abundance, but even the lucre that is so tantalizing and so destructive was not able to steal your joy? There should be a witness in the house tonight of all of this. Verse 12, he said, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am an all-season fan of God. He is a God for all seasons, and I am a child of God in every season, and I am not a fair weather friend of God. I believe God when it's raining. I've seen young people break in the back door of the church after picking out a coffin for their daddy and dance down the aisle. I've seen a mama stand by a gurney with a dead 11-year-old like a mighty oak tree and say, God, I love him, I want him, but if you need him, I trust you. You take him. My God, those things make me tremble, but it lets me know your little pitiful trouble shouldn't be enough to capsize your victory in the kingdom of God. You ought to be able to stand. You got to make up your mind to stand. God, somebody shout about that a little bit tonight. Do you have a made-up mind? Are you prepared to live for God? I can't tell you what tomorrow holds, but I can tell you who's going to meet you there. Who's going to stand there with you? Paul says, and this is exactly the philosophy and the theology that we're dealing with here. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound everywhere in all things. I can see Paul's history, see him beaten with rods, see him stacked up under a pile of rocks at Lystra. He died there at Lystra, rose from the dead. He was imprisoned. He was in perils. He bobbed like a cork in the Mediterranean. He was in shipwreck. He washed ashore. And then after having been delivered from the sea, had a viper to bite him on his hand, come out of the fire. But he said, I've been everywhere. I've done everything. But I can tell you, God is good. And wherever I am, I have made up my mind that I'm going to be content in God. You won't find me grumbling. You won't find me murmuring. You won't find me complaining, because God is good. Come on. This is the root and the heart of your praise. And in your joy, therein lies your strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You better get a hold of it and declare that you'll never turn it loose. My God, somebody got a victory tonight. Somebody got a testimony tonight. Has God been good to you? Do you love what God is doing in your life? Hallelujah. He said, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He said, I'm a good soldier. I can do this. I can serve in every capacity. He said, I know how to be abased, to be hungry, to suffer need, and still trust God, and still have a thankful heart, and still praise God, and still walk with confidence in God, and still be a good example, and still be a strength to my friend, and still be an edifier of my wife, my husband, my children. Come on. Is it seasonal with you? Are you relegated to good days and sunshine before you can walk in the power of the Word of God? I will tell you this, living on the mountaintop with God is exhilarating, but you get a lot more work done when you're down in the valley and the trouble is there, but you're still lifting up your hand and you're declaring God is good. And all the sick people said, God is good. And all the troubled people said, God is good. And everybody with a problem said, God is good. And everybody your daddy left you, say, God is good. And everybody that your mama backslid, say, God is good. And everybody that's flat broke said, God is good. Any day, anyhow, everywhere, all circumstances, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. Give somebody a high five and tell them, that's my God. That's my God he's talking about. You serve a puny God? The enemy said, we notice a trend. They're victorious on the mountains. We're going to attack them in the valley. God heard it and was insulted. He said, I'm going to give you their heads, because they said I was weak in the valley. And I'm going to show them. I want you to know you shine in the middle of a bright sunny day. A candlelight of some sort isn't all that noticeable, but you get it down in a subterranean cavern where there's not a speck of light, and that thing shines like a lantern on a big freight train. I want you to know, in the middle of a day when everything's good, your light is good, you need to have it on, you need to be singing this little light of mine. But when you get down in the darkness of a swamp, you get down in a place where sunlight can't get to and trouble is present on every side, that light begins to radiate and shine like you've never seen it before. This thing works better in trouble than it does in a season of good and health. Well, praise God. This ship was designed to sail on all seas. You can't be a fair weather sailor with God. Praise God. He said, I know how to abound and be full and still live for God. It is so curious and ironic that people can live for God with the weight of a struggle on their shoulder, but when the struggle is alleviated, And when the blessings of God come, it is the story of Israel. As they are blessed, they forever historically forget God. And God has to pressure them, and God has to strip them, and God has to oppress them. And they wake up and they say, oh, we need God. And when they call on him, he's always merciful and he's always kind. But he blesses them after their repentance, and they fall again. And that is the continual cycle. It is the story of the book of Judges. It is the story of the history of Israel. I believe that you can be blessed and walk in the blessing and be a blessing. I don't believe you have to fail God because you walk in the blessings of God. It is the plan of God, the promised plan of God. It is the promise he made to Abraham. And we, as many of us as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. And if we be Christ, then are we Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Galatians chapter 3. We are the seed of Abraham. What was the promise to Abraham? Abraham, I'm going to bless you. And in you, all of the families of the earth are going to be blessed. God pours out a blessing so you can be a blessing, not so you'll choke, not so you'll say, well, I'm not in trouble anymore, I don't need to pray, not so that you won't, that you'll say, I've got everything I need, so I don't need to worship so ferociously. You know, we make a connection between duress and problem and oppression and trouble like ancient Israel did, and they began to call on God. But you won't get to the zenith of where God wants to take you until you get the revelation that from the platform of blessings, God wants to use you as a blessing. Paul said, I know how to be abased. I know how to be hungry. But he said, I also know how to abound. And I know how to be full. And God's looking for somebody that can serve God well and engage the blessings of God and be blessed abundantly in body and in spirit and in resources and in family and in ministry, and not let ego rise up and forget about God. Paul said, I know how to do that. Do you know how to do that? Do you know how to do that? Or does God have to keep you in a place of deprivation so that you'll hang on and live for God? I have slept through incredible preaching. My early years in the church was marked by a capacity to be able to sleep. I played the drums. I didn't sleep then. But man, when I'd get still and comfortable, it didn't matter who, it didn't matter if it was Sam Emery or Mark Morgan or who. If I was sitting like you're sitting right now, I was gone. I had to learn how to get on my feet and walk and praise and magnify God. Finally, God called me to preach, I think, just to save me. He said, this fool's going to sleep through the whole thing. I've got to do something with him. But if you wonder why I'm on my feet and I like to dance, God is good. He's worthy of all the praise. But I'll tell you what, if I forget to praise God, something inside me goes to sleep. And I'm not just talking about my body or my mind. My eyes are closing. But something in my spirit begins to go to sleep. I want to remember to clap my hands, lift my hand, lift my voice, magnify God. Even when there's no obvious reason in the natural to praise God. I know how to abound and be full, still live for God, still keep a godly attitude, still love people, still maintain the humility that is characteristic of the people of God, stay true to important people in our lives, stay true to our family and stay true to our friends, still pray and still worship God when there's not a catastrophe at hand. Praise God. It ought not take a tragedy for you to pray. It ought not take a tragedy for you to get an altar experience. It ought not be the pressure of life that drives you. You ought to be able to walk in on the crest of the blessing of God and say, God is good, and I'm going to give him all that I have. Well, praise God. You know, God is consistent, and he's looking for people that are consistent. God doesn't have bad days. Isn't that good? God doesn't have sleepy days. Isn't that good? He's looking for people that are consistent and people that don't have bad days in the kingdom of God. My God, can he find anybody like that in this house? Can he find somebody that'll be the voice of God? It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. Can he find somebody that'll be a witness and a testimony regardless of what's happening in and around you? Paul said, I can do all things. Somebody say all things. My God, here's another one of those all-encompassing passages, like in Romans 8, where he says, I know that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. Do you really believe that tonight? Do you really believe that tonight? Then what is happening in your life right now is working for your good. My God, somebody ought to shout about that right now. What's happening in my life right now is working for my good because the word of God says so. Oh, my God, you ought to just shout about that a little bit. God, mighty God, God's working in me. God's working on me. God is working for me. Praise God. This is a good thing. God is able to take this. He'll hang the devil on his own gallows. He'll use a jailbreak to glorify his name. This is about God. And here's another one of those all-encompassings. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Praise God. That's all-encompassing. I can do anything in God. I can serve God. Now, you understand this is within the context of the Word of God. I shouldn't have to qualify this. You know, you cannot be a mallard. Because that's not within the framework of the Word of God. So you might be a fool tonight and say, well, if I can do all things, I can be a duck. You can't be a duck. And Mario, you can't be a girl. And you can't marry a man. Quack, quack, quack. You'd better off be a duck. So within the context of the Word of God, there's a lot of things that you cannot do. Praise God. But within the context of the Word of God, anything God asks of me, I can do. Anything that's set before me in the course of my life in the kingdom of God, I can do because the Word of God says I can. Somebody say, praise the Lord. This is not arrogance. This is not self-promotion. This is confidence in the Word of God and confidence in the power of God. The Holy Ghost that's in you, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The name of Jesus is a mighty tower. The righteous run in. Don't you know that every knee has to bow at that name and every tongue has to confess? You're not going to encounter anything that is not subject to the Word and the name of our God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Any assignment God gives, I can do it. Somebody say, I can do it. Any task that God lays upon your shoulders, you say, I can do that. Any income level that I'm living at, I can live for God victoriously there. Somebody say, I can do that. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and say, I can be a pauper. Say, I can be a millionaire. I can do that, and I can still live for God, and I can still live in victory, and I can still magnify and glorify God. Well, praise God. Come on. You got to be able to do this all the time, everywhere, in all situations. Praise God. Any mission that God calls on me to perform, I can do that. Someone say, I can do that. I can serve God. Come on, tell God, God, you can count on me. Call on me, Lord. I'm here. I'm ready. Call on me 24 hours a day, God. Come on. Talk to him. Tell him I can. You call on me. You call me at 2 in the morning, God. I'll be there. I'll be ready to pray. I'll be ready to intervene. I'll be ready to intercede. I'll be ready to serve you. Praise God. Are you ready? Can you do that? I can serve. I can take on the towel as he did. And I can serve. Praise God. We serve in so many different ways. We serve in so many powerful ways. Some are insignificant to the natural man. Some you never see in a bright light or in a public audience. But there's all sorts of service in the kingdom of God and in the house of God. And God's looking for somebody that is a son or daughter in the kingdom of God who has the Father's heart in mind. And they say, whatever God desires, whatever he needs, that's what I want to be doing. You don't need to be promoting yourself to do something. You need to be promoting yourself to God to be available to do whatever God wants you to do. There may be something that you love, but there may be something else that God needs. You need to come and bring the thing you love to an altar and say, God, here I am. Use me. Let me serve you. Clap your hands unto him and bless his name. Praise God. Somebody shout, I can forgive. I can forgive anybody of anything that they've ever done. I can forgive them. My God, you need to understand this, that doesn't release them. That releases you. That sets you free. You've been dragging that old thing around with you. It's a boat anchor on your life. It's going to hold you down and hold you back. You need to turn that loose. I don't care what they do. It's immaterial what they do. Praise God. There's people that drag dead people around. Folks that are never going to apologize. Folks that are never going to make it right because they're dead. You can't get to them. You can be like Heathcliff in Wuthering Heights and go down and lay on the grave at night. That is one creepy Emily Bronte book. How did I get on that? I can forgive. I can forgive. Turn to your neighbor. I can forgive you. I'll forgive you a debt. I'll forgive you an offense. I'll forgive you if you hurt me. I'll forget you. I'll forgive you if you forget me. Praise God. Can you do that? Paul said, I can do all things. I can do all things to Christ who strengthens me. The trouble with that for some people, though, is you're going to have to get a whole new definition for your life because you've been defined by a victim status. You've been a victim all your adult life because of something that happened years ago. And that's how you've defined yourself, and that's how you've walked. But guess what? God doesn't do business with victims. God does business with overcomers. Because he's provided everything you need to overcome. And you got to stand shoulder to shoulder with Paul and say, I can do all things. My God, I'm not a victim. I'm a child of God. I'm not a victim. The only need I have in my life is more of God. I can restore. Can you do that? Can you let somebody come out of the shadows and let somebody come out of their failure? Give somebody another chance. You know, the flesh and the carnal mind, they're so petty that they view someone else's failure with some degree of satisfaction because other people's failures make you look good, you think. But you're wrong. We're all made of the same broken, distorted stuff. And we really need a lot of mercy in God. And God is very, very pleased with you when you help someone else be restored and you help someone else find recovery. Because there has been a time and there will be a time when you need restoration. I can build others. Somebody say, I can. I can give. I can give of myself. The next week is the 1st of July. Remember your building offering commitment. I can give. We need to build a new church sanctuary. We need to buy property around here. There's a lot of things we need to do if we're expecting revival. Now, you can coast along and be a little old sleepy church that doesn't want to get up and go anymore. But I'm telling you, if you will put your heart into it and your mind into it, we can join our resources together. We can do something for the kingdom of God. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Sí, se puede. Yes, we can. I can give. I can walk another mile. I can. I know you're tired. I know you've lived for God a while, but we can walk another mile. Sister Riggs, you back there, you listening? Wave your hand. That's a faithful lady. She loves to be in the house of God. She's got some miles on her. She does. But she comes up, she reminds me of my mama when she's talking. She says, I want to be in the house of God. She's got a rough voice like my mama had and made me stand up straight and do right most of the time when she was around. Anyway, but I appreciate your faithfulness. It's not easy, but she wants to be in the house of God. Praise God. Can you walk another mile? Can you get knocked down and get up again? Come on, can you get up again? I can do all things through Christ. who strengthens me. I can witness, I can testify, I can teach, I can do all of that because God says that I can. Let's clap our hands into him and bless his name. Your vocation in the kingdom and your salvation are knit together. You have to find something to do in the kingdom of God. God's got plenty of work to do. He said the harvest is plenteous. He said the laborers are few. That's not a sad song. And I hate sad songs. My house is full, but my fields are empty. Who will go and work for me today? God is not a beggar. God's going to get it done. And if you won't get up, you won't get it done, God will find some freak out in the street and draw them into the kingdom of God and renovate their lives and wind them up and turn them loose, and God will get it done. But don't you make a beggar out of God. He's looking for somebody that says, I can, and I will. Praise God. I can do all things through Christ. Because he is God. He is the mighty God. Praise God. Isaiah says about him, Isaiah says he is Emmanuel, God with us. Somebody say, God is with us. Don't you know if God is with us? If God is for us, there's nothing or no one that can stand against us. Isaiah said, yes, he's the child that was born. He was the son that was given. But he's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. This Jesus that we're dealing with, he knows me in my humanity. He relates to me empathetically. But he is the mighty God, the creator God, robed in flesh. He has everything that I need. And he's got this marvelous connection with us because he came down from heaven and became flesh. He is Jehovah Shammah. He is there. Everybody say he's there. Wherever you're going to be, God is there. Turn to your neighbor and say, wherever you are on Tuesday, God is there. Tell him 10 years, God is there. When you stand at the brink of death, God is there. He's Jehovah Shammah. He's God is there. Ezekiel 48:35. And the name of the city from that day shall be, the Lord is there. And the word is Shammah. God is there. Somebody say, he's God. He's Shammah. He's there. Mighty God, he's in the middle of my storm. He's in the middle of my trouble. He's in the middle of my valley. He's with me when I'm sick. He's with me when I'm broke. I am beating this to death tonight. I'm going to beat it slapped to pieces. I'm going to beat it to death tonight. You need to hear this and understand. God is going to be there. And where God is, you can do anything. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's God, our provider. Tell somebody, God is my provider. It's not my boss. It's not my job. It's not the government. It's not some check I get from some bureaucrat. God is my provider. Do you know that? Do you know that? Abraham went to the mountain of sacrifice as per God's commandment. And he brought Isaac there to sacrifice him. And Isaac was getting nervous and said, I see the fire, I see the wood, I see the knife. Where is the sacrifice? Because he knew he was the only living thing on that mountain besides Abraham. And Abraham said, God will provide himself a sacrifice. And so they're making their way up the mountain of God. And when they get to the top of the mountain, God stays the hand with the knife and won't let him take the life of his only son. And then there is a ram caught in the bush there, and they offer that up as a sacrifice. And Abraham names the place Jehovah Jireh, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Or God is my provider. Come on, somebody say, God is my provision. I want everybody with money trouble tonight to say, God is my provision. I want everybody that's in a jam tonight to say, God is my provision. My God, I'm not dependent on anything or anybody else. God is able to do this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You don't get to Jehovah Jireh. You don't get to see Jehovah Jireh unless you make the trip up the mountain. You've got to make the trip following the commandment, the mandate of God. Even if it's opposed to everything you hold dear, you got to say yes to God. You've got to say yes to God. Come on, let's lift up your hands right now and say, God, I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. I'll be what you call me to be. Can you pray that prayer right now? Do it. Lift up your voice. I can't hear you. Come on. I want to, mighty God, I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. I'll be what you want me to be. Mighty God, I'll say yes. I'll say yes, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He's looking for you. He's giving you everything that he needs. Praise God. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is the God that healeth thee. Exodus 15 and 26. They were down at Marah. The waters were bitter, but God made the water sweet. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is the God that healeth thee. He is our healer tonight. We still believe that he's a healer. He said, these signs shall follow those that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Brother Ken, I believe that tonight. Praise the Lord. Brother Cedric, I believe that tonight. To everybody that's sick and struggling with chronic illness tonight, I believe that God is still a healer. You need to touch somebody and say, he's still a healer. Come on, come on. Say, he's bigger than cancer. He's bigger than sickness. He's bigger than disease. He's bigger than all those things. He's still a healer. Does anybody believe that God is still a healer tonight? He's Jehovah Ezer. He's our helper. Samuel took a stone, set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. My God, he has helped us tonight. Anybody here got a testimony that can say, God has helped me? God has been there all along for me. God has been my help. God has been my strength. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to keep on being what he's always been. He's always going to be there for you. Don't look ahead and tremble with fear. Look back at the lion that God delivered into your hand. Look back at the giant God delivered into your hand and say, God is able today. Today's a brand new day. Bring on the fight. Today's a brand new day. Bring on the trouble. The church is a church built upon the rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's our helper. He's Jehovah Roi. God's name is Roy. Hagar was running from Sarah. She had Abraham's seed within her womb, and an angel found her there in the wilderness, and the angel instructed her to go back and be submissive to Sarah. And the promise of Abraham came down on that little Egyptian woman, and that boy is going to be Ishmael, and he's the father of all that trouble over there tonight. He's the father of all the Arab nations. Because he's the seed of Abraham. That is a long story. But after that interchange with the angel, Hagar, the little Egyptian girl, said, the Lord sees me. Jehovah Roi, God sees me. She said, do I see the one who sees me? It's a really profound moment of revelation for her and for us, because God sees you right where you are. He sees your trouble. He knows your pain. He knows the hurt. He knows the difficulty in your life. The question is, besides the fact that you should be comforted by the fact that he sees you, the question should be, but do I see him? Do I see the one that sees me in my time of need? Praise God. Everything around you tries to hinder your vision of God. But tonight, God wants to reveal himself to you. God wants you to walk in the knowledge that he's always there, and he's always your healer, and he's always your provider, and he's always Jehovah Jireh, and he's always your peace, and he's always the God who sanctifies, and he's always the creator God, and he's always Elyon. He's the mighty, most high God. He's always El Shaddai. He's the God Almighty. He is always the author, always the finisher, always the beginning, always the ending, always Alpha, always Omega, always the Christ, the Son of the living God, and the God himself. He's the Lion. He's the Lamb. He is He is our safe place in Goshen. He is the I am that I am. He said it to Abraham, and then again in his incarnation, he said before Abraham, he said it to Moses at the burning bush. And then again, he said before Abraham was, I am. In his incarnation, he identified himself for all who would hear that he was the mighty God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses come to the earth in flesh. He is the I am that I am. He's put the stars in their places. Not one of them fails. He calls them all by name. He set the boundaries for the seas. He holds the earth in the palm of his hand. All of the universe is held together by him. Paul would say in Colossians that he made everything, and by him do all things consist. They call it the Colossians effect. He holds it all together. He is the I am that I am. He's our Goshen. He's our safe place. The plagues were falling upon Egypt, but they didn't fall on the children of God. Don't look around you and see all the trouble and tremble. God's hand is as big as it ever was, and God can cover you. He is your covering tonight. God is your safe place in Goshen. The plagues fall on the world, but the plagues won't fall on the house of God or the people of God. Somebody ought to say amen about that. I want you to understand that God is our covering. Praise God. He is our Passover lamb. Every house in Egypt had somebody dead that night, but not the Jews, because they had killed a lamb and the blood was applied to the doorpost and to the header or the lintel. And when the death angel came, he saw the blood and he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Anybody covered by the blood tonight? I thank God for the blood. I thank God for the blood of the lamb. Jesus is our covering. Jesus is our Passover lamb. They killed him on the night of the Passover. They drug him outside the city. And he is our Passover lamb. He is our waymaker in the midst of the sea. They were encamped between Pi Haroth and Baal Zephon. I love that when we do it in Bible study and people have to read it for the first time. They were between two rocks and Pharaoh behind them and the sea in front of them. And there was no way. Somebody in this house tonight is standing in a place just like that. You don't see a door. You don't see a way. I've come to tell you tonight, Jesus is the door. Jesus is the way. If you've got Jesus, you've got a key that unlocks an impossible situation. Somebody with an impossible situation ought to have a screaming fit about right now. You ought to just say, my God, that's the answer that I need. He's a highway in the midst of the sea. He's a wall of water on the right hand and on the left hand. He's a tower of fire by night. He's a tower of cloud by day. He is our celebration on the banks of the Red Sea. He's everything I need. I can do all things through Christ. He is my tabernacle. He's how I come to God. He's where I come to God. He's the medium by which I come to God. He told them, you tear this temple down 3 days, I'll raise it up. They thought he was nuts, but he was talking about his ministry, his body. He raised that body up, and I press in through him, and I get to the Holy of Holies as surely as the high priest of Israel did. Tonight, what I felt moving in this house is what moved in the Holy of Holies in those ancient biblical days. The Shekinah glory is in and has been in this house tonight, moving and thrusting and covering and ministering. Ministering. Has anybody sensed the presence of the mighty God in this house tonight? I want you to know he's there because God is our tabernacle. My God, he's my high priest. There is one God and there's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. And he is not only the mediator, he's the God to which he brings me. He is my scapegoat. He is my lamb of atonement. He is the light, the true light that lighteth every man that comes into the world. He is the God in the midst of the candlesticks, always disclosing and always revealing. It's not by might, nor is it by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. He is the sweet smelling savor that covers us in the presence of his righteousness. I'm an unclean man. I am a broken vessel. I am a distorted person tonight. I am twisted by the fall and by the curse. And yet here I am handling the word of God and part of the people of God and fellowshipping good things and sitting in heavenly places with God's people, all because he's my covering. He is the sweet smelling. How do you get into the presence of God? God is standing, God is enthroned in Zechariah chapter 3, and Joshua the high priest is filthy and contaminated and corrupted, and he's standing before the throne of God, and Satan is at his right hand to resist him. And what Satan is doing is pointing out all the filth and all the dirt, but God rebukes Satan, and God gives him a clean raiment, and God puts a new hat on his head, and God lets him come in to the presence of God. And here we are tonight. I am unworthy to be in God's presence, and I am unworthy to sit with you in the house of God. I am unworthy to handle the precious things of God. Yet here we are, because God is our covering. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's love him here for just a little bit tonight. Would you do that? Praise God. Praise God. We could do this all night. Lindsay, come help me. We're not, though. We got chicken dinners to eat. But in verse 19, Paul says, in this same conversation, he says, but my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory. And after all we've handled tonight, to anybody that's in need, we will say, I know you got a need, and I understand your pain, and I know you've been hurt, and I know life is happening and trouble is happening. I know you've got a need, but tonight we've come to tell you, we've got a God. My God shall supply all of your need. He's the I am that I am. He's everything you need, everything you'll ever need. You're going to walk, some of you, in places you cannot imagine. You can't even think of it now. But he's going to be there. And he's going to meet you there. And he's bigger than your need in all of those places. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I know you've got a need, but I've got a God. And my God shall supply your need according to his riches in glory. I know if you were dependent on me, you'd be in trouble. I love you. I'm glad to be your friend. And anything that I'm able to do. But life will take you some places I can't reach. Life will lay some burdens on you that me and you both can't lift. Good news. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Hallelujah. I want everybody that's got a difficulty, a problem, a burden, a sickness, a need tonight. Come on and sing, singers. I want to open this altar up to you tonight. And if you believe God is able, praise God. Brother Jermaine, where are you? Come here. Praise God. Justin, praise God. Praise God. I want you to take that oil. I want you to anoint Brother Ken. Brother Cedric, get right in there close. I want you to anoint Brother Cedric. I want you to just say this. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Pray for them tonight. Every need down in this altar.
Awesome. He can move.
Brother John.